How many of you feel better already? You can't be in the help but be in the presence of the Lord and not feel better. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There's something powerful that happens at the name of Jesus. I said there's something powerful that happens at the name of Jesus. The song says every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that he is Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's not just every idol out there or everything. Well, you know, we always think those things are for outside the church. How many know every knee has to bow? Every sickness has to bow. Every addiction has to bow. Every bondage has to bow at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because at the name of Jesus, there's power. And there is power in the blood. Hallelujah. I mean, the blood is powerful enough to wash away every sin, every bit of condemnation, every bit of death. Hallelujah. In the blood of Jesus, there is power. There is life in the blood of Jesus. The power to be made whole. Amen. The power to be made set, to be set free. The power of deliverance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking yesterday, I was mowing a little bit, and I was thinking, I always think when I mow, I preach when I mow. Hallelujah. My honey thinks I'm crazy because I kind of enjoy mowing, and he doesn't, so he is the luckiest man in the world. Hallelujah. He does help me mow. I don't want you to think I do all the mowing. He does help me mow. But there's just something, you know, there's no other noise but the sound of that mower when I'm mowing. Just me and Jesus. We got our own thing going. And, you know, you can do a lot of meditating. How many know church doesn't just happen here?
Amen.
If you're just having church when you get here, you're missing a whole lot of fun.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You got to have church everywhere. You know, and I was meditating on things, and I was thinking, you know, sometimes I think we set back and we hold back on the deliverance that is ours. I think we accept way too much and consider, well, this is just my lot, this is just the way my life is, and all of those kind of things. How many know sometimes we set back and accept things when we need to say, I will not receive anything from the hand of the enemy. I will not receive sickness. I will not receive death. I will not receive the fox coming into the hen house. Amen? How many know sometimes you got to stand against the enemy and say, I know that you are defeated. I know you have no power over me. I know the blood has been applied to the doorpost of my house, and there is no place for the death angel here. Hallelujah. It's the blood that it's applied to the doorpost of the house, and it's the lamb that's in the house. You need to hear that today. It's not just a symbol, or, you know, it's not just a cross you hang around your neck. You know, it's not just the lucky rabbit foot. How many know it's the power of the demonstration of the cross? You got to understand that the blood on the doorpost meant there was a death of a lamb inside the house. Hallelujah. And because of the death of a lamb, Jesus, we have the blood applied to the doorpost of our heart. Hallelujah. So enemy, don't bother knocking on my door because you are not welcome in my house. Hallelujah. I mean, no, there is no place for the death angel in your house. There is no place to receive anything from the hand of the enemy that was defeated at Calvary. Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes you got to rise up. You got to let the Holy Ghost sometime rise up and take over. Hallelujah. I mean, no, there's deliverance. And sometimes I think if you don't believe in the deliverance, you won't receive it. You won't seek for it. You won't ask for it. I mean, amen. Sometimes you got to go after it. Hallelujah. Good old Pentecostal roots where you got to get before God and get a hold of God and say, I'm going to stay here till I see something happen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not because we sacrifice ourselves to receive anything from God. It's because he sacrificed himself that I can receive everything that he says that I have. Amen. I can receive everything that he gave to me. Everything that he promised, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Hallelujah. That's good news today. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about Pentecost Sunday. We were a week late, but that's all right. Pentecost happens every day. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah, because we did a Memorial Day. Memorial Day fell on Pentecost. We did Memorial Day and Pentecost. That's just the way we roll here. Hallelujah. So it was Pentecost Sunday. I mean, know what happened on Pentecost? The Pentecost that we know of is the Holy Ghost fell. The scripture says that they were all in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and they were all in one accord. Jesus said to them, go to the upper room and tarry there. Stay there till you receive power from on high. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes there is some tarrying. Sometimes there's some holding on. Sometimes there's just being available for God to move in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. We live in such a high-paced, fast-paced society. Sometimes God's got to catch us by the coattail to slow us down long enough to say anything to us. Well, I'm in the house by myself today. Maybe I'm the only one lives on roller skates these days, but hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to get before God while you're pushing the lawnmower. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, God's a faithful God. He's an ever-present God. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's there 24/7, 365 days a year. Hallelujah. But there was some tarrying that went on in the upper room. He said, stay there till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Pentecost was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. We just talked about the Passover. That's the blood on the doorpost and the lamb in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. At Pentecost, they came to the Mount Sinai. The law was given. 3,000 people were slain because of the law, because of the golden calf, and because of all of the things that happened at Mount Sinai. How many know we're living in a new day? When Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost in the upper room to the apostles, 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom. How many are glad you're living under grace today? How many are glad you're living under a new covenant? How many are glad you're living this side of the cross? Hallelujah. I'm glad to be living this side of the cross. Hallelujah. Because on that Pentecost, the scripture says the Holy Ghost came and it set on them like tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. How many know the power of the Holy Ghost is the dunamis, dynamite power of God in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. It is the anointing, the power of God. It is your GPS system. He said, it will lead and guide you into all truth. It is the best GPS system you ever have. It does not need batteries. It does not need a satellite to function. And if there are sunspots, it doesn't mess up. Amen? How many glad your salvation does not revolve around technology? Amen. Hallelujah. Trying to do something on the email the other day, and I'm thinking, I am smarter than this. I should know how to do this, but I am not a technology person. I'm glad God does not revolve around technology. I am thankful for technology. Don't get me wrong. How many know that the ends of the earth are being touched with the gospel because of technology? Amen? Hallelujah. But I'm glad that my GPS system is an inward one, not an outward one. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for His provision. I'm thankful for His protection. Amen? I'm thankful for His timing. He knows what He's doing. Even when we don't know what He's doing. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Holy Ghost came. Hallelujah. And Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose. See, it's the middle of the afternoon, but this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all the Jews. What's that? All flesh. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Men, sons, daughters, wives, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, everybody, all flesh. Hallelujah. How many know that ought to make you want to shout today? I'm pouring out my spirit on all flesh. Not just the Jewish people, not just the Gentile, not just those in the upper room, the 120 on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your men and women are going to preach and prophesy. Your men and your sons and your daughters are going to see visions and dreams. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak to everybody. I'm going to make myself real to the other parts of the earth. Hallelujah. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. And something divine must have happened in Peter, the guy who was hiding out just a month or so early, that turned and run, that was afraid and denied and fled. I mean, no, it's not the same guy that stands up on the day of Pentecost and said, men and brethren, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied of the prophet Joel. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Repent and be baptized and receive you the Holy Ghost. And the scripture said 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom on the day of Pentecost. That's good news to me. Hallelujah. We're living this side of the cross. We're living this side of grace and mercy. Hallelujah. That when the Holy Ghost is poured out, nobody dies, but everybody lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he stands up and he begins to declare to them the things concerning the scriptures that's prophesied of the days of old. I think if Peter could have summed it up in a nutshell, he said, I get it now. I get it now. Hallelujah. I mean, no, the power of God inside of him was the dunamis dynamite power of God that changed Peter from being timid or backward in times, or fearful, let me say it like that, fearful, because he wasn't always timid, he was just fearful at times. Just stand up on the day of Pentecost and said, I don't really care what you think today, because this is that was prophesied of the prophet Joel, the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. And if you'll repent and be baptized, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost just like we did. It's to your children and to your children's children. Hallelujah. I mean, no, the Holy Ghost is not just good enough for you. It's good enough for your children and your children's children. Hallelujah. When we were kids, we did not have TV most of the time growing up. We played. We were so deprived. We played outside. We swam in the pond. We did all those country kid things, and we used to have steps in our house, and our steps were our church pews, and we had church in our house. When we played, we had church. We preached, we sang, we practiced, we went to the pond, we baptized. Everybody in my family's been baptized probably at least 100 times because we baptized each other. And we'd say, in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, I baptize you, and that's what we did for entertainment. Go figure. One time my sister was at a revival meeting, my youngest sister Amy, she was at a revival meeting down in North Carolina, and she was laying hands on this little boy, Sister Burris's little boy, I believe it was, and she slayed him under the power. She said, she lays hands on him, slays him under the power, so she goes to get a blanket to cover him up. You know how they always, you know, got to make sure you have a cover across so nothing's showing if you get slayed in the spirit. And so she's got him slayed in the spirit down on the floor, and he starts to get up, and she comes back over and says, Holy Ghost, keep that boy on the floor till she could go get that, till she could go get that blanket and come over and cover him up. That's what we did for entertainment. Hallelujah. People talk today about these old shows and these old cartoons. I said, I don't know what y'all are talking about. I just usually say that was all before my time. Hallelujah. We didn't fill our head with a lot of those kind of stuff. That's what we did. We practiced, we preached, we played house, and we played church. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost in your life. I received the Holy Ghost as a little girl. I was little when I received the Holy Ghost. I remember when my sisters received the Holy Ghost, just barely big enough to kneel down to a church, to a seat or a pew. God filled us with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can argue with it if you want to. You can deny it if you want to. But the man with an experience is never at the expense of a man with an argument. Amen? Hallelujah. Once you've experienced it. And so the scripture says that they continued steadfastly. I'm going to go to Acts 3. Carlin, if you want to go ahead and bring that up. I'm getting there. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. How many know it is important to continue what God has begun in your life? Yeah. This is not a drive-through kind of salvation and religion where you drive through, pick up what you need or drop off what you need, drop off your burdens, pick up your blessing, and keep on going. How many know it is a continuing of continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine? In other words, the understanding of the word. The apostles' doctrine was nothing but the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only message they preached. Amen? Hallelujah. They didn't have the written Bible like we have today. They had the scrolls of the Old Testament things. But how many know they preached Jesus Christ and him crucified? That was their message. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, keeping the cross ever before the people. In the breaking of the bread, in the understanding the Lord's Supper, the communion meal, the breaking of the bread, discerning of the Lord's body, and in fellowship and in prayer. How many know there's power in fellowship? There's power in prayer. Whether you believe it or not, you need me today. Whether I believe it or not, I need you today. I needed to be with you today. I needed to be in the presence of the Lord. I needed the anointing of God in my life. I needed to connect with the rivers and the spouts and the streams, because the scripture declares that out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And wherever that river flows, It has to bring life. Hallelujah. So if you didn't come to get life, you better step out of the way because the river is flowing today. Hallelujah. And it's going to bring life. How many are ready for some life? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so in Acts chapter 3, the scripture says Peter and John are going up into the temple at the hour of the prayer, at the hour of prayer to pray because they're good little Jewish boys. And that's what you did at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You went to the temple for your time of prayer. Nothing wrong with that. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. They're going up to the temple to pray because it is commanded of them to do such. Hallelujah. I believe we need to set aside time in our life for prayer. You need to have a prayer life. You need to have communication with God. You need to have contact with God. It may be behind the steering wheel on the way to a committee meeting somewhere. It may be on the way to work. It may be somewhere down the road, but you need to be talking to Jesus. If you pass me in my car, you won't know if I'm singing a song or talking to myself or talking to Jesus. It doesn't really matter because it's just me in my car. Hallelujah. Most of the time I'm either singing or I'm talking to Jesus. Sometimes I am talking to myself. But here's what I find out. If I'm talking to Jesus or singing a song, I'm not talking to the person driving in front of me or cutting me off, or my communication out of my mouth is as it should be. Amen. I'm in the house by myself again. Hallelujah. And so we need to have a prayer life. Prayer is important in your life. You need to communicate with God. And here's a little trick. Let me just drop this in real quick and I'll keep rolling. Let him talk back. You can talk to him, but let him talk back. Stop long enough and let him talk back to you. You know what happens? I'm sitting at my table sometime, we're saying grace. And I start out with thank you, Lord, for this food, but by the time I get to the end, I've got petitions before him. I'm just praying and I'm just asking. I'm praying for everybody in the church who's sick and all this. And I thought last night, you know what? I just come to give you praise, Lord. I just want to stop for a moment and just thank you for where I am right now. Thank you for food on my table. Thank you for what you blessed me with already. And if you never answer another prayer, I'm so blessed I couldn't help but praise you anyway. Amen. But what happens sometimes, we're so busy with our petitions and our list that we don't stop long enough to listen in case God might want to talk back to you. The most powerful tool in a relationship is communication. Let me say that one more time. The most powerful tool in a relationship is communication. When you quit communicating, you will have a breakdown in that relationship. I can guarantee you that. And sometimes we don't say what's on our mind because we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or we don't want to ruffle feathers. And sometimes we got to learn how to communicate. I mean, no, there's a right way and a wrong way to say things. You can say, pick up your socks nicely. You can. You can. The first time. I mean, no, I'm being crazy with you this morning, but I'm serious with you. We have got to communicate. And I have to be honest and say some of the things that probably my life over the time that people have said to me and hurt my feelings have probably done me the best good. Because it made me stop and think about something. It may have hurt your feelings at the moment, but there is power in truth. And the truth will make you free. Now, sometimes we think we got the right to just speak into people's life because it's just the truth. Sometimes you need to check what spirit you're of. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. But we need to have communication. But we need to have prayer life. We need to be able to talk. We need to sit down and talk. There are times in Dan and I's life that we are glad that Lowe's is 45 minutes from our house. Because we have 45 minutes in the vehicle to talk till we get there and 45 minutes on the way back, if nothing else. Amen. And so I tell him all the time, honey, I'll go to Lowe's with you if you buy me dinner. You buy me dinner, I am there. And so we end up having a lot of, my girls laugh because we have a Friday night date night at Lowe's. Amen. And we're probably not the only ones. Amen. And I love it. I love it. Anyway, they're on their way to pray. John, Acts chapter 3. Go ahead and bring it up. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This man is lame from his mother's womb, and he is a man now. He has been in this way a very long time. Amen. He's laid at the gate, beautiful, because you were giving special credit and you were giving honored for your almsgiving in this day. How many know almsgiving was a big thing, big part of being in the temple? To ask alms of them that entered into the temple. He's just there to get his provision for the day. This is the early form of SSI. Amen. There was nothing in that day. If you were a widow and orphan, if you were crippled, if you had a blemish, if you had, there was nothing for you except begging at the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. I submit to you that this scripture is not just about a man who was crippled by a temple one day in Peter and John. I want to say to you that there are a whole lot of people that are lame in their feet. There are a whole lot of people who are crippled. There are a whole lot of people who are unable to walk. There are a whole lot of people who have been labeled disabled or blemished that are on the edge of the outside of the temple, just begging alms from the edge and unable to go on into and receive what God has in store for them. Amen? I mean, no, Ruth gleaned in the field of Boaz because she didn't know she had a right to do anything other than the leftovers at the outside edge. Hallelujah. But when you understand that you have a near kinsman redeemer who's got his eye on you, all of a sudden you understand you got a right to more than just begging on the sidewalk. Amen? I do not believe God's children need to have to be begging on the sidewalk. Nor do I think our crippled legs need to keep us from going into receiving what God has for us. Hallelujah. If every one of us would take our mask off today, we would find out there's a whole lot more crippled folk among us than we know. Amen? Hallelujah. Because every one of us in some way have had a struggle with our walk. Amen? With our feet. With our walk, walking the Christian walk. How many know sometimes all of us find ourselves a little bit crippled, a little bit injured, or a little bit weak at the knees? Amen? Anybody ever been a little bit weak at your knees in your Christian walk? If you're honest with me, every hand in here goes up. Hallelujah. And sometimes we're just content to sit on the edge and beg alms. But I want to tell you, there's something more. There's something greater for you in that situation. Now, there's two type of people portrayed in this. Those who came seeking something, needing healing, needing restoration, needing to be able to walk. And there are those who came to give just exactly what that man needed. Hallelujah. I mean, no, you have the choice sometime to be the teacup or the teapot. One you pour into, one pours out. Hallelujah. And thank God we get to be both of them at times. Amen. Thank God we get to be both of them at times. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look at me. Look at me." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. A measly pittance, a little bit of pocket change, just alms for the day, alms for the poor. He fastened his eyes on them, expecting to receive something. Did you come today expecting to receive something? Hallelujah. I mean, no, sometimes we need to fasten our eyes so on him that we can receive what we need to receive from him. He said, put your eyes on me, fasten your eyes on me, look at me right here, look at me. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. He expecting to receive something of him. I got to tell you, folks, we got to come into the house of the Lord expecting to receive something from him. You may be the one who needs to receive today, or you may be the one that can pour out. You may be the one that has something in you that says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. What's he got? What's Peter got? He's got the Holy Ghost. Woo! He's got the Holy Ghost. He just got it in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. He just stood up and preached a successful revival where 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. He's just gone to the temple to pray because he's a good Jewish boy. But this time when he goes to the temple, let me say this. I read the history on this last night. Chances are they have passed this man many, many times at this temple. Because how many know Jesus went in and out of the temple many times? And the scripture tells us that not everybody that Jesus come in contact to necessarily got healed because there was such a multitude of people. He didn't get to everybody. So what did he do? He empowered the disciples. He said, I want you to go into all the world. You are going to be endued with power from high. You are going to restore the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Only this day when Peter goes to the temple, there's something different about him. Hallelujah. He's got the Holy Ghost. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Hallelujah. They began to see him get up and walk. Walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. How many know we got to get up out of the place where we're in sometimes, enter into what God has called us to do, and begin to praise him for what he's already done. Amen? That's why I like to start out the service with praise reports, because it builds faith. I'm just so thankful for what he's already done. Amen? I know he's going to do more, and I know he's got great things in store for us, but thank you, Lord, for every time you've given me the strength to get up and walk one more time, where you've caused my knees and my ankle bones to receive strength, where I thought I was down and I couldn't walk, but you gave me strength to get up one more time, to try it one more time, to walk again, to do what you call me to do. Thank God for every time, spiritually or physically, he caused me to be able to walk out of that place that I was in. Hallelujah. How many know you are not called to be a beggar? You are a king's kid. Hallelujah. You have an inheritance. You have the righteousness of God. You have healing. You have the power of God in your life to cause you to walk in a way you've never walked before. Amen. And I'm not talking just about physical. I believe in the miraculous healing of the physical. Amen. Seen it. Hallelujah. I told you the story about the lady in Bishop Huskins Church was in a wheelchair for 20 years. And in worship, nobody even laying hands on her. Nobody even saying, I believe there's somebody in this house tonight going to get up out of a wheelchair. Nobody saying nothing. All of a sudden, feeling starts to come into her legs, into her feet that she's never felt before. And she starts feeling something happen, and she's had no feeling in her legs. All of a sudden, her husband says, honey, are you ready to go? She said, I'm not ready to go. Something's happening. I feel something happening to me tonight. Something is flowing in my legs. I think I'm going to walk tonight. Hallelujah. We went to the conference. She wore bigger heels than I did. She ran all over that stage. She went from wheels to heels. That girl is a worshiper. I'm telling you what, she could worship in a wheelchair like most people can't worship on 2 feet. She would roll that wheelchair around that stage and praise God and worship. But I'm telling you what, now she's on heels and she is a force to be reckoned with. You can't tell her God doesn't heal. You can't tell her the miraculous doesn't happen. It happens. Hallelujah. God is able to do the miraculous. And just as he is able to do that same miraculous in our physical body, he is able to do it in our legs and in our spiritual walk. And in those times in our life where we feel like we are struggling the hardest and we feel like we are fighting for everything we can fight for, and unless something happens, we're going to die there on the edge. But I'm telling you, today is your day to rise up, rise up, rise up, and walk. And do not receive anything less than what God has purposed and empowered for your life. Hallelujah. Such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How many know sometimes you got to speak it to yourself? There might not be somebody around you speaking it. Hallelujah. There may not be somebody else around you can agree with. Hallelujah. Agree with the fence post. Agree with the bird in the yard. I don't care who you agree with, but agree with somebody that something different's going to happen. Amen. That God can move on your behalf, and keep declaring it until you see it. Speak it until you believe it. Hallelujah. And believe it till you see it. How many know we have that anointing in our house? Every one of you. Every one of us. Hallelujah. How many know, you know, we talk about my dad. We talk about Pastor Jack, bishop over this house. When he prayed for you, he believed in healing. And he believed it was going to happen. He was more surprised when it didn't happen, Andy, than he was when it did. Hallelujah. How many know you got to believe for it to happen every time? He said, if you're going to come pray for me, don't pray for me to die. Pray for me to live. And if you're going to go with me to pray for somebody and you're not going to pray for them to live, don't go with me. Because that's how he's going to believe. That's how he's going to pray. Hallelujah. How many know he trusted the anointing of God in his life? And our kids, when they were little, they would practice playing church. And when they'd lay hand on somebody, they'd shake their head. Because, you know, if you know my dad, you know when he's going to pray for you, he's going to shake his head because he'd get the jerk on him. So he would get, so somebody, one of the kids had laid hands on him and prayed and they waited and they said, you got to shake your head like Pap does. They said, you do? He said, yeah, because Pap shakes his head and that means it's okay. Yeah, you got it when he shakes his head. So to the kids, that's what they figured. That was Pap's sign of saying, okay, you got it, you got it, you got it. If you ever had him pray for you, that's really kind of what it was. But you couldn't talk about the jerk without him getting a jerk on him. I mean, it was the power of God in his life. I didn't make fun of him. I swear I did not make fun of him because I figured that whatever you laugh at, you're going to get. So, you know, but these days I'll take a little bit of that jerk on you. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that part. When you shake your head, that means it's all right. That means it's done. Amen. We got to believe it when we declare it and when we pray it. Amen? And leave it to God to do what he said that he would do. Go ahead to 2 Kings, Carlin. Peter and John simply said, such as I have. What do you have? You have the power of the Holy Ghost in you. I believe we all have the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in us. Amen? Maybe not all of us have experienced the experience of tongues, which is just the outward expression of the inward dwelling Holy Ghost in you. Amen? Sometimes you just got to release it. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be people here next week filled with the Holy Ghost. There are going to be people here speaking in tongues. There are going to be people touched and changed by the power of God. It's available to you. You can get it anywhere. You can get it in the woods. You can get it in the car. You can get it beside a rocking chair. You can get it wherever you are. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to speak it. Don't think it's going to be somebody else's tongue, something that you already heard. It doesn't matter. God's not going to call it down fire from heaven if you did say what somebody else said. And if you do, more power to you. Amen? You know, just let God speak to you. Everybody's waiting on these particular words to come to your head. I just say, just start praising him in tongues. Just start releasing the Holy Ghost out of you. Amen? And it's just how it flows. That's just how it happens. There's no trick. There's no, you don't have to, you know, do so many Hail Marys, or you don't have to do so many push-ups, or you don't have to do it. You know, I told you last week, they said, Peter goes down to the house of Cornelius. Peter preaches, repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 3. Chapter 10, I think it is. He goes down to Cornelius' house. He just starts preaching Christ. Oh, my goodness, guess what happened? The Holy Ghost falls on the Gentiles. They start speaking in tongues. Wait a minute, we haven't baptized them yet. Well, that's okay. The Holy Ghost done been there, done filled them with the Holy Ghost. They're already speaking in tongues. Now let's take them out and baptize them. Just in case they haven't got this all put together in a package, let's baptize them, filled with the Holy Ghost. And land sakes, how am I ever going to explain it to the council when I got back that the Holy Ghost has done fell on the Gentiles. Hallelujah. You don't have to be spotless. You don't have to be clean and righteous to get the Holy Ghost. Now, I might get stones thrown at me for saying that, but here's the deal. If you were righteous and perfect before God, you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. So there, the Holy Ghost will come to lead and guide you into all truth. It is your guiding system. It is that voice inside of you that says you don't want to go there. This is not the time for you. This is not the right time. This is not the place. Pray for that person. Whatever it is that it's speaking to you, trust the voice of God, the Holy Ghost inside of you to guide you and to direct you. For those who didn't hear, for those of you who didn't hear it, Pastor Shirley said when, you know, they started seeking the Holy Ghost, said people would tell them all the time, said, but you are stay away from those places. And speaking of the tongues is of the devil. And she said, well, if it was of the devil, everybody would have it. So there you go. Hallelujah. Amen. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Can I just tell you on verse 1, you are not indebted to the creditor. Let me say that again. You are not in debt to the creditor. Hallelujah. She says, and they're coming to take my sons. How many know too many times we've tried to sell out the sons to pay a debt that needed to be paid when all we needed to realize was the debt has already been taken care of. Hallelujah. Moving on, verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Hallelujah. That's worth reading again. It says, he said to her, what do you have in your house? When Peter and John went up to the gate of the temple to pray, they said, such as I have. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Hallelujah. The prophet says to her, what do you have in your house, Jim? She said, I don't have anything in my house except oil. Hallelujah. That's an awesome testimony to me. That's all you need. How many know if your house is void of everything but oil, that's all you need? Hallelujah. How many know that is the anointing oil, the Holy Ghost power of God in your life? You're in good shape. Hallelujah. So I don't have anything in the house except oil. Hallelujah. I don't have anything in the house except the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. But wait a minute, I need something. The creditor's coming after. I need something. Go to your neighbor's house. Go gather up some empty vessels. No, but my vessel is empty. Go gather up some empty vessels. But what about me? I'm empty. Go gather up some empty vessels. How many know the best way to get filled back up is to pour out and to pour out and to pour out? Hallelujah. When Elijah came to the Shunammite woman, came to the lady, the widow at the house, he said, go get me a drink. But the scripture tells us ahead of that, he prepared a widow woman to sustain him. How many know God's already speaking to a widow woman? So that when the prophet comes to the house and says, go get me a drink, she doesn't turn around and say, man of God, you do know that there's been a famine in the land. It hasn't rained for years. And by the way, you spoke the famine. You caused it not to rain. Nope. She goes to get him a drink. And he says, and while you're up, make me a little cake and bring it to me. And at this point, she turns around to him and says, man of God, I have a little bit of meal, and I have a little bit of oil. I'm gathering these sticks, and I'm going to feed my son, and we're going to die. This is it. This is all I got in the house. I can give you my cake, but it's going to be real hard for me to give you my son's cake. Amen, ladies in the house, dads, moms, are you in the house? Yeah, it's one thing you want to ask for my cake. But if you want my son's cake, I don't know. But how many know the scripture says she obeyed the prophet? And she went and got a little cake and a little cruse of water. And she brought it to the prophet. And he said, because you poured out, he said, I'm going to cause your barrel never to go empty, and your cruse is not going to run dry until God send rain on the earth. I'm not only going to fill you today, I'm not only going to bless you for this, but I'm going to cause you to be a vessel to pour out, because your house is going to have oil and your house is going to have meal in a time of famine. How many know there's some houses in this place today that are full of some meal and some oil in a time of famine? And you may find out there's people around you, they need a bite of something, they need a drink of something, they need somebody to pour out something. But we're standing back saying, but I don't have nothing in the house. What would you want me to do? I don't have nothing in the house. He said, you go to the neighbors, borrow some vessels, get some empty pots, bring them in. Hallelujah. How many know some of the greatest blessing is when you pour out into empty vessels? Can I say to you, there are empty vessels everywhere. Everywhere, looking for somebody to pour something into them. And he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. There's so much to cover, and I can't get through all of it. But how many of sometimes we got to shut the door to some things? Shut the door to other people's opinions, other voices, circumstances, what it looks like on the news. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes what the doctor's report says, sometimes we got to shut the door to some things. And said, upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out, such as I have, give I unto thee. Verse 7. Oh, I'm sorry. Back up. I got ahead of myself. She was on schedule. I wasn't. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. How powerful that is to me. There is nobody else anywhere in the vicinity that I can pour out. Hallelujah. Every vessel that I've come into contact to, I have filled every vessel. I've borrowed from my neighbors. I've been to my neighbor's house. I gathered them up at Walmart. I went down into the classroom. I gathered them up at the job. Every place I've been poured into vessels, and I can stand around and look and say, there's not an empty vessel anywhere. Hallelujah. How incredible would it to be to say, I filled every vessel, Lord, that's been brought into my house. Every vessel that has come into the house has left full of the anointing and the power of God. And there's not an empty vessel anywhere in my house. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we can come into this house empty, but you should not ever leave empty. We have no excuse to leave empty. We need to leave full, because when you leave full, guess what? Somewhere along the road, you're going to run into empty. Hallelujah. And as you begin to pour out, you're going to understand that pour out brings increase. Pouring out brings increase. Hallelujah. Sometimes at the time, it feels like you're at a deficit, thinking, I don't even know what else I can give. But when you pour out one more time, hallelujah, it's overflowing. She said, get me another vessel. He said, there is not another vessel in the house, and the oil stays. Can I tell you today, the oil stays? The anointing doesn't leave you. The reason that David would not put his hand against Saul, he said, I will not touch God's anointed. Saul was God's anointed man. He said, I will not put my hand to him. Hallelujah. How many know the anointing stays? It is the power of God that will lead you and guide you into all truth. Go on down. Is that going down to the next one? And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. How many know, I want you to know this morning, your debt has been paid. Say that with me. Your debt has been paid. Hallelujah. How many know it was paid in full on Calvary? I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Hallelujah. Jesus says, if that same spirit, that word is our word, the real word there is since that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. How many know you have that Spirit of God dwelling and living in you, such as I have. What do you have in your house today? You have that power. You have that Holy Ghost anointing inside of you. Go ahead and give me Malachi 3, 10 through 12, Carlin, and I'll end with that one. Hallelujah. I mean, Isaiah 35 declares to us to strengthen the feeble hands and the weak knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, fear not, be strong, for behold, your God will vengeance. He will come and with a recompense. He will come and save you. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. For in the wilderness, and the lame man shall leap as a hart. For in the wilderness shall water spring out and streams in the desert. Hallelujah. Malachi 3:10. This scripture is concerning tithes. It's not just about tithes of bringing your money in. I mean, I believe in being a tither. I believe in being a giver. I believe it's the best way there is to sow seed. I believe it's one of the greatest investment plans you'll ever do. Amen? Hallelujah. You can tithe in your time. You can tithe in your money. You can tithe in your giving unto the Lord in all of the areas of the of your life. Amen? It says, bring all ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Another scripture says, just test me. Try me out now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many know that's a good investment plan? Hallelujah. He wants to pour out a blessing to you as you give out, such as I have, what I have in the house. Financially, physically, spiritually, every area of our life, I believe that we can give. Hallelujah. And he will pour you out a blessing. Amen. But he also will pour you out a blessing. You as a blessing, and you as a blessing will he pour out. Amen. On all of those. Hallelujah. I believe he wants to pour a blessing on us. But how many know the blessings of God are not for us just to hold on to? They're for us to pour out to somebody else. Hallelujah. Such as I have today. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. What's in your house today? Anointing. You got oil in you. You got power in you. You got the anointing, the power, the flowing anointing of God in your life flowing today. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good news to me. Crystal and Beth, come and play for us if you will. Hallelujah. That anointing, any of the musicians can come. Let's just stand to our feet this morning. Hallelujah. Let's stretch for a moment while the children are coming. And let's just give God a moment. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just receive his anointing this morning. Let's receive his flow. If you came with lame feet today, this is your day.